Hi everyone, I'm Heather, one of the Youth Services Librarians here at Cromaine Library, and today I am here with Eric and Shelby, and we are going to talk about the book Forest Bathing. So, have you guys ever heard of the concept of forest bathing before we read this?
I know I have, but I don't think I've ever gotten such detail, but also such vague information about the topic before I read this book.
I had not heard about what forest bathing was, and I totally thought it was about getting a towel and going and finding a forest pool in which to bathe, which it is not. But I am also highly in favor of wandering around the woods, as I was brought up a feral child in the woods. So I'm on board with forest bathing, even if it doesn't necessarily involve sinking your body into a mountain stream.
I mean, sounds great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it sounds great too. I had heard of the concept of forest bathing before, and I love that what it evoked for you was literally like bathing in a forest. And I'm sorry that it wasn't that.
It's okay.
Yeah, you know. It's all good. So what did, yeah, so we talked a little bit about the title, but what did you guys think of the cover? Felt like it wasn't anything special personally.
Oh, I really liked it. I thought it was really pretty. I really like the art on it. Actually, now that I'm looking at it, I just love seeing the greens and the browns, because that's a big theme in this book, is that like even just the colors of, if you look out to a lot of green and a lot of blue, can really help to benefit your mood and everything. Oh, look, you're not upside down anymore.
I'm not upside down.
To everyone who's listening, our friend Heather has been upside down this entire time, and now she's righted herself.
I have.
But this book is really pretty. I thought the cover was really nice. It kind of makes you think that there are going to be illustrations throughout, though. And for the most part, there's not really illustrations. There are a couple of really nice graphics in here that look like they were hand-drawn or hand-painted. But for the most part, you flip through this book and it's got, maybe we'll get into this later, really big font that doesn't really take up the whole page at all, and then beautiful photographs of forests throughout the world. So it's a really pretty book. And then based on the cover, you might not really get that, because the cover looks like it'll just have a lot of hand-drawn images.
Yeah, agreed. I really like the illustration on the cover, but I also really loved the photographs in the book. I thought there was a lot of cool pictures of nature and trees, especially obviously in forests and rivers. And that's kind of my jam photography wise. I just love kind of like landscape nature photography. So I really like the look of this book.
Yeah, I loved the pictures throughout the book. I actually found that they had a very calming effect while I was reading, which I thought was really great. And I know one of the things they actually brought up in the book was even just having like pictures around like your desk or something at work can often provide feelings of calm and comfort. So I just thought that was like an interesting little note.
Yeah, this was a book that it's not the greatest book I've ever read in my life. But what I really liked about it is that every time I read it, I would walk away just feeling really nice. It's just a nice book. It's, for the most part, like very cheerful and very sweet. And it just kind of gives you these really nice ideas and really inspires you to at least get outside, even if you might not necessarily be spending 2 hours in the woods forest bathing. Mm-hmm. It was a really positive way to start the day, because I would read it in the morning. So I really liked that.
Yeah, I really agree with that as well. I found it really positive. I liked that his like original kind of thing too was just his big question he wanted to answer was, why do we feel so much better when we're in nature? And I just loved the peace and serenity that he was kind of evoking from the very beginning of the book too.
Yeah, he does a really good job of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a very calming, soothing kind of read, I felt.
Yeah.
We should probably specify that we are reading this book because it is April and we have Earth Day coming up. So if you're listening to this right now, happy Earth Day. Go outside. We wanted to read a really nice book about the woods or about being outside or the environment. So that's why we're focusing on forest bathing this month. Just
Yeah,
sometimes
thank
we just
you for
launch
that,
into a
Shelby.
winter
I feel
trampoline
like
and go
that's
to
an
sleep.
important point. Yeah, and
Yeah,
it
good
was
job,
funny.
Shelby.
Yeah, for getting us to the meat of this podcast. And it's funny too, because while we were debating books, we realized all of them were like super depressing. And it was Shelby who was like, "How about we read something lighter?" It's like, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this book before. I threw out a couple of other ideas, and they were just about like foraging for wild plants, or there were a couple other ones that were just really long. So I wasn't sure if we'd have time to get to those. This one is also a really nice book because it's a really quick read. I'm sure you two are pretty fast readers, as far as I know. I'm sure you got through it really fast. I
I'm
know.
a
Okay.
slow reader, but I mean, this is 300 pages, but it's probably really like 100 to maybe 150 pages in real book terms because it's like a pretty big font and it takes up like only about a third to half of the page for whatever reason, and there are a ton of pictures.
Yeah, and I will say too, my only really huge criticism aside from, well, I have like one other one too, but I do feel like this could have been condensed into even like an even shorter format than what it was. Like perhaps just a really long essay about some of the benefits, because I felt like it kind of got a little bit repetitive for me as well. Or if it could have dove a little bit more deeply into certain things, I think that would have been cool.
That was a weird thing about this book. Maybe we'll go through the different sections of the book and talk about those in a minute, but my overall impression was that it was a really nice book and I'm glad that I read it. However, like you said, there were some spots where you want, I guess I'm dying. There are some spots
It's
in
the
this
pollen.
book.
It's a beautiful spring
Ah, oh, love it. It
day.
is 80 degrees in this room right now. I am sweating. happy spring, happy Earth Day. There were some parts of this book that had so many repetitive parts that it was kind of nice at first, but after so many repetitions of the same message, I was ready to move on. And then other parts of the book that maybe we'll get to a little later where we kind of move through some ideas without really giving them the fleshing out that they need. So it feels vague and it also feels almost like it's not fully explained, so it might be misinterpreted. So maybe we'll get there.
Yeah, I feel like that actually might be like just a really great way to approach it, because I feel like there are about three chapters, and like Eric was saying, like for it being such a huge book, it is rather short. Or Shelby, I can't remember who said it. I'm still stuck on the fact that I was upside down for all but yeah, so in the introduction, did you have any ideas like going in about why we feel so much better in nature before you just even started reading this book?
Kind of, but it's not fair because we just read a very similar book in Nonfiction Book Club. I would say it's like a close cousin to this one, Stolen Focus by Johann Hari, which talks a lot about basically disconnecting from your devices and just taking time to be mindful, in your own space, which is like a very similar concept to forest bathing without the forest, I guess, is just like kind of being present in your own kind of space. So I knew about some of the benefits of doing that, which is kind of like this is a more specific form, I think, of what Johann Hari was advocating for in that book, which I would also highly recommend. Everyone in the Nonfiction Book Club gave it 5 stars. So,
Wow.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. What I wrote down, just because this is what I was pondering, was for me, before I even started reading this book and was just thinking about that question, the forest makes me feel like I'm a small piece of a much bigger world. It's never quite silent. You can hear your footsteps crunching, the wind blowing through the leaves, you can hear animals scurrying. And as much as I feel connected, I also feel kind of hidden too. which basically just also de kind of describes me as an introvert hermit and just my life in general. I really like that because it's like I'm a part of a bigger whole, but I'm also very small, like in the grand scheme of things. And nature just always makes me think of that.
Yeah, I think a lot of my joy of being in the woods is from a lot of my experiences in botany school, where we met a lot of wonderful plants. And, you know, I kind of have really nice memories with certain plant species. So when I am outside and I see a plant that I really like and that I have tied to either a fun memory or I just there's something really interesting about that plant, which can be said for most plants. I get really excited. It's like when you walk into a room and there's a bunch of people in there, and as you look around, you realize that you recognize a lot of them and that they're good friends of yours. So you get like that tiny rush of the happy chemicals with each one that you see. So for me, that's what really makes me happy about being outside, is that when I look at what's around me, I get really excited about it. The fresh air definitely doesn't hurt. The smell doesn't hurt. And just having that quiet time is really nice. I've found that I work through problems really well when I'm physically outside. But that's more like hiking than it is forest bathing. Maybe we should dive into like what exactly forest bathing is, because it's not hiking. You're not just like tromping as fast as you can. I guess my understanding of the concept is that it's really about enriching all of your senses in what's around you.
That was my
Yeah.
understanding of it as well. And I love that you described some of the sensory experiences that you feel because that was a lot of what forest bathing is. And like Eric was said, it was also a lot of like just mindfulness and just really being present and disconnected from like
Yeah.
devices for a little while because it just does your mental health really, really well.
And I think like on a more personal level for me, like Shelby was saying, your old friends, I grew up in a strip of like 10 or so houses that were surrounded by like at least I know the middle school was the closest thing to me and that was half a mile away, but everything else was woods.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I spent a ton of time just like wandering in the forest as a child. So I think there's a nostalgic element as well for me of like just remembering being a kid and just like having these this like fantasy playtime in the woods where I was, you know, like a D&D ranger and had my legion of animal companions at my beck and call, kind of, you know, Aragorning out there. So yeah, there's that like personal element, I think, to like being in nature as well.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up like in cities, so we didn't have as much nature. We just had like a couple of, like trees. They were really the neighborhoods I lived in had very like mature trees and that sort of thing. But yeah, it was like the houses were really close together. I'm from Downriver, so like they were really close together. And my family, we've owned property in northern Michigan for years and years and years. So that's where we would kind of go to get like the just a breath of fresh air, literally from being in the city. And I totally didn't appreciate it as a kid, but as an adult, I find that I seek it out literally all the time.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we moved into our house in Livonia coming up on 5 years, and it's on one of those streets where in front of every house there was a giant old tree, and the first year we lived there they cut ours down.
No
I
way.
know, we were so
Why?
sad. I would assume that I know like they marked out the water pipes, and I think the roots of the tree were kind of probably endangering all of the water pipes. They did plant a new one in a different spot, but it's like still a little baby. And these were like really huge oak trees.
That makes me really
And
sad.
bummer.
Yeah, that's a shame. I actually just finished a really good book called The Nature of Oaks, and it just talks about how oak trees host more animal and I guess just like mammals and insects and microorganisms than any other tree species in Michigan,
Oh,
and just
wow.
how ecologically important they are. So that's a really cool book. If you liked this book, if you liked forest bathing and you want to dive a little more into the science and the ecology of what's around you when you go into the woods, The Nature of Oaks is a really cool book.
I'm definitely adding that to my list.
Cool.
And I know one of the things that forest bathing talked about was just how important it is to have green spaces, even in cities. And the author actually said it's kind of like part of the national health initiative in Japan, where 2/3 of the country is actually forest, but a lot of people are concentrated like in the major cities. So when you think of it, like in terms of the United States, we have places like Central Park and that sort of thing. So they have spaces like that in Tokyo. And I'm trying to find out the parks, or remember the names of the parks, but I just thought that that was really cool and just something really special that they do in Japan. And I'm glad, because even in Detroit, I know they're trying to do more like urban farming, and it just makes me really happy to see that.
Yeah.
One of the other things the author dove into was some of the Japanese folklore about how Japan became so lush with trees. I might be saying this word incorrectly, so I apologize, but there's a nature deity called Kodama that lives in trees. And if a tree is cut down and has Kodama living in it, then you will be cursed.
So don't cut down trees in Japan, kids.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe we should start spreading that around here.
Yeah. Looking at you, Eric's tree in Livonia.
I didn't do it. It was the township. Haunt those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding. We should go to the township and let them know that there are tiny fae in the trees and that you
Although,
will be cursed.
Although I did just cut down a tree in my backyard because it got torn apart by the windstorms earlier in the fall.
Aww, poor thing.
Yeah, and I think it had like an insect infestation because when I was cutting it down, there were a bunch of holes like in the trunk and stuff that looked like things had been burrowing in it. So I'm pretty sure it was on its way out anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm planting a new one.
Good, good.
I know, I feel like a big moral of this book was plant trees.
Yes,
which is
totally
definitely
agree.
The moral of a lot of environmentally centered books, but this one kind of wraps up with a little section of like, we are losing a tremendous amount of trees in the world, and a big part of saving those trees can start in our own backyard. So if you can plant a tree.
Please do.
Yeah, because not only are they important to like our ecosystem, but they're actually really important just health-wise. Some of the reasons the author speculates that forest bathing is necessary is to combat techno stress, helps you unplug and just helps you with your overall health. It can improve your mood, boost your immune system. Which is also important. And I know a lot of times too, even when you're dealing with mental health struggles, one of the things you'll be told is like, try to get out in nature and just like take a walk and just kind of be mindful. And it does definitely help for sure. And I had previously said this too, but the author also postulates that even views of nature can help. And I can say with absolute confidence that that is true. I recently moved into a new apartment, and my old apartment was just facing a parking lot for about 3 years. And I felt like I was constantly like stressed out and anxious. And with my new apartment, it has like the tree view. And it's just amazing like what it's done for my overall mood. I've even noticed differences in my dog. Like she's a lot more chill again too. So I absolutely agree with that. And I too am getting much more rest just because there are trees behind me now instead of a parking lot.
Yeah, I'm not terribly surprised to hear that. We can kind of, it's sometimes hard to notice the lack of nature in our views until you get more of it. And then once you notice it and notice the benefits, it can be glaringly obvious looking back.
Yeah, I'm always surprised when people get the downstairs study rooms in Cromaine, and they always ask, you know, do you want the window or do you want the one without the window? At how many people just don't want a window? Because
really,
it's like a really pretty view out that window. And I get that it can be distracting, but it's also Relaxing. And I know if I'm doing any kind of writing or just like trying to get work done, sometimes it's kind of counterintuitive, but looking out the window will help you find a solution, or like just kind of gazing out into the plant life might spur some kind of creativity, or just like taking your mind off the problem like that for a second helps you actually solve it quicker.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I kind of get why some people might want just a wall because they think it helps them focus, but I don't think that actually works.
Yeah, that was a really interesting thing pointed out in this book. And also, something that was pointed out was that if you're hearing nature while you're working or trying to focus, that it can help a lot. That's something that I've yet to try because if I'm doing something like writing or editing, I need silence. No music, turn it off, don't talk to me. Quiet. So I'm a little bit interested to see if I play some kind of, YouTube sound of like forest ambiance or something, if that helps. It might take a little getting used to, just like if you sit in a room with a window after a long time of not, you might have to get used to it a little bit of like the scenery change, but I wonder if that would help because the book says that it helps.
And what the book says, we must do.
You must obey the book.
Yes. Yeah, but to your point though, again, I'm gonna refer back to living in an apartment. I have a white noise machine, both just to kind of like drown out the noises when I'm trying to sleep, and also for my dog. Like right now, as I'm at work and she's at home, her white noise machine is turned on. So, and I notice like she immediately relaxes as well. It has a lot of different settings too. Like, so you can do bird songs or this and that. The bird songs would personally keep me awake. So we don't play the bird song one, but it definitely does kind of soothe. It just kind of drowns out all the other things. So you can just hear like those noises. I really enjoy that. It's our good little wind down thing for the evening. Yeah, and in chapter two, because I feel like we've kind of covered chapter one, which was from a feeling to science. It talks about practicing Shinrin Yoku, which is forest bathing. And again, I'm very sorry if I messed up that pronunciation. So it and which is basically just oh gosh, I have like the exact definition written down too. So it is just taking in the forest through one's senses. And some of the ways the author says that you can practice forest bathing is to find a spot, engage your senses, and then just talks a little bit more about just the benefits of silence, which is also my life story. I can really relate. Yeah, and this was something that just randomly came up for me while I was reading. But if there was a natural sound that you could just like preserve forever, like if you did want to try a natural sound, what do you think it would be for you? Got the
That's a tough one. I would say like a river or the ocean,
ones.
but a river might make me have to use the bathroom too often.
Yeah, did you ask any sound that you
Like just
could hear
natural
for like
sounds.
for sleeping time or just overall?
Yeah, just overall, like what would your favorite natural sound that you would want to preserve be?
I don't know if this counts as natural, but for sleeping time, I've taken to finding these like 10-hour long black screen YouTube videos of ships on the ocean. So it sounds like a
Oh.
creaking wooden like pirate ship ambiance kind of thing.
That's really cool.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's an impeccable vibe, my friend. You just go to sleep listening to pirate sounds. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really
Just like a
fantastic.
creaking ship.
It takes you back to your roots.
Yep, must be. It's ancestral memory, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that too, because I think my sound would probably be rain. Like, even I love reading a book, like, even when it's like raining and you can get cozy and you have like your tea or your coffee or whatever your beverage of choice is. But also, just speaking of boats, I really like train sounds, and I've realized everywhere I've lived, there's been like a train that goes by at night and like blows its horn, including the place I live now. So I think it's like a feeling of home for me.
Wow.
So there
That's awesome.
you go.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if I were to preserve a sound from nature, maybe it would just be the wind in the branches and the leaves.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is
I
a
don't
good
know why
one.
exactly. I think because I've spent many a day just sitting and listening to that while doing whatever, that I don't know. I think I might have some deep, happy memories with that sound in the background.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense too for that being a comfort because one of the other things the author talks about is grounding, like taking off your shoes and kind of being in the grass. So that might also evoke those kind of feelings of like when you're very grounded, you know, and it's just and you're getting stuff done, you're thinking things through. So, and it's a lovely sound as well.
Yeah, that are we jumping too far ahead if we start talking about that section? Because we have some
Think
feelings
so.
about a few
Yeah, can we talk
sections.
about some of the sciencey stuff in the book?
You know, let's talk about
Let's do
that.
this. Everyone, put your science caps on.
I'm Bill Nye.
Okay, Bill Nye, explain me this.
Riddle me this.
I don't even know where to start. Okay. In the beginning of the book, I was really enjoying the descriptions of the importance of forest bathing and how it's done. That all seemed kosher. And then as it goes through the rest of the book, which after it talks about how to participate in forest bathing, it talks about like you mentioned, like grounding work and other ways to like really immerse your senses into the forest. And then it goes into how to bring the forest indoors. So it talks about house plants, essential oils, candles, some really interesting topics. But there were a handful of parts where the book will reference, for example, a study, and the study involved 100 people,
Or
and
less.
then, or
Sometimes it was
less.
like 10.
Sometimes a group of 10, and then the author will say something like, you know, the forbidden word in science proved, and it was not, it didn't come across very well. Like, for example, I think there was a part where it talked about surveying 100 people or something like that, and then it said, and from this survey of 100 people, we proved XYZ. And that's where it gets really delicate in the world of science, where 100 people is not nearly statistically significant, and you cannot be throwing that around. It's obviously, you can bring it up. There's no reason to not bring up a study like that. But when you do, it did not prove anything, but you can say that it may suggest XYZ. So even just the framing of those studies and the way that they were considered felt a little off, and there are a bunch of parts where that happens. It's not all over the book, just a handful of times. And it really makes the book seem a little less credible. So we
Yeah,
don't
I
love that.
had kind of similar thoughts. There's a lot of things that Dr. Kingley seems to ascribe specifically to forest bathing that I don't know necessarily are specific to forest bathing, a lot of these benefits. He references the study, I guess he did with, I think it was like three men and two women. And then he says, and I took them to a forest bathing walk. And then I took what I assume is supposed to be his control group to downtown Tokyo. And he's like, these people didn't get those benefits, so it must have been the forest. And I'm just like, well, there's a whole lot of middle ground between walking around a calm forest. And later he does talk about how all of the lights and noises of the city don't allow you to relax. But I'm like, well, could these benefits also work just walking along the beach or walking in an unforested park or even around the track at a local high school in isolation? Like, I don't necessarily think a lot of the things that are ascribed or accredited to forest bathing are necessarily exclusive to forest bathing, which, and to be clear, I am all for it. As you know, like I said, a feral child who loves nothing more than to this day running around or just like leisurely walking through the woods, you know, obviously, yes, definitely do that. Plant a tree, support, you know, any organization that's like trying to plant more trees and get out in the forest. But I'm kind of like Shelby, where I'm on the fence about totally buying into all of the things he says are specifically from forest bathing, all of these benefits, you know?
Oh yeah, I'm 100% with you guys. It very much felt like, oh, this correlation implies causation, and it all just felt very anecdotal to me. And I remember even while I was reading, kind of rolling my eyes at some of it too, because it's like really, really, or it did seem like he was trying to kind of like sales pitch, if that makes sense. Like he was trying to sell you a product, and I was waiting for it to be like, if you try forest bathing XYZ vitamin, you'll get these same benefits.
Right, totally.
Thankfully, he does provide all of the studies that he references in the back of the book, and I haven't gotten a chance to look at them, so maybe there's more to it than
Then
he
is
says. But he just kind
described.
of like glosses over and says this was proven, and then the things he references don't seem like very scientifically rigorous studies all the time.
Yeah, and for me, it just feels weird that anyone is saying that there's definitive proof for something, like especially as like a scientist. It you know, it's we postulate this is why, you know, our hypothesis was confirmed, but we need to keep like analyzing this data, and we're open to new information. Whereas this kind of felt like, well, this was proven and this is confirmed. And it's like, yeah, but as you were even saying with like the city versus the forest, I have a lot of friends like who are more extroverted than me, who would prefer like a city, who would feel so uncomfortable like in the forest. Whereas it's like maybe he just had just introverted personalities who do feel more connected in that way. But this would drive some of my friends bananas.
Yeah, and there was like another part that I'm remembering where he talked about parts of cities that have trees are, you know, healthier and this and that. And I don't debate that, but I also know like I lived outside of Manhattan and I was in Manhattan a lot in my 20s. And the parts of Manhattan that have trees are wealthier. So there's more factors than just maybe the trees. And I'm not saying that that's not a contributing factor to some of it, but if I would speculate that a lot of cities are probably similar to New York and that the areas with more money tend to have more space for more nature. So that's also like a pretty important factor in people's health and well-being is, you know, how much money you have available to you. To either not have to stress about money, which is stress is incredibly harmful to our health, which is why it's good to take a forest bath every now and then and just kind of unplug and, you know, let your troubles while away. But yeah, I feel like sometimes other factors were ignored in favor of saying, well, they have trees, so they're healthier and happier.
Yeah,
Because maybe
absolutely.
there are some other kind of proximate causes that might be contributing to other areas be unhealthy, if that makes sense.
That 100% makes sense. And that's I really love that you brought that up as well. Just like the effects of poverty and stuff, because when you think of people who are like working, you know, two jobs just to barely make ends meet, when would they have time to forest bathe as well? Like there has to be a certain amount of privilege for you, like if you can do this regularly. And again, like you were saying, taking into account like environmental factors. You know, I grew up right outside of Detroit, where there are factories, kind of near like Zog Island, and that was all being pumped into the air. So even if we had trees around, which we did, like we were still dealing with those kind of environmental factors. In addition to just like living paycheck to paycheck and that sort of thing. So it's like, yes, forest bathing is good, trees are good, but you can't like forest bathe your way out of structural issues, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And the author even mentioned something about when you go to forest bathe, you should probably set aside about 4 hours for right. maximum effect. And my eyebrows shot up into the ceiling.
Yeah.
And then it said afterwards, it said something about, but if you only have 2 hours, that's okay too. You should start to feel the effects after about 20 minutes. And so I'm thinking, even to set aside 2 hours, even to set aside 20 minutes is mm-hmm. a lot for some people.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and go ahead. Sorry.
All I was going to say was that it kind of circles back to what you both said about the privilege of where you are located and the privilege of the amount of time that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he references the one study he did. It might have been the same where they went away, and I forget how long they were doing this for, but they were doing 2 2-hour blocks in the day and walking about 3 or 4 miles of over those, I think he said 2.5 kilometers over the, 4 hours basically, and how all of their stress levels and their sleep improved and stuff. And I was like, well, he was just talking about how people in Japan sometimes work 100 hours of overtime in a month. And I'm like, mm-hmm. well, just taking those 4 hours a day away from a stressful job, I think could have been as much a factor in improving sleep and stress as the actual forest walk. Just mm-hmm. to do any, that's the kind of thing I'd like to see. Okay, so you had those four people or that group of people taking 4 hours to forest bathe. Well, what if you just took them and had them do some other kind of leisurely activity?
Right.
A second group, like where would there be significant differences between the forest bathers and the other people doing some other kind of relaxing activity? I don't know. That's like, I guess the best example that I can think of from the book of where I was like, that's cool, but maybe it wasn't just forest bathing. Maybe it was like working 4 hours a day less than they otherwise would have been.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like any HANA exercise will wear you out. And I know he said like forest bathing is meant to be kind of slow. It's not like a hike where you're really working like your muscles and stuff, but you do still get worn out. Even if, for example, you're taking your dog on a sniff walk around the neighborhood, it can still be tiring depending on how long you do that, how long you're standing, what pace you're going. So, the 4 hour thing really got me too, because again, with my dog, we try to make time for at least 2 walks a day on, the days I work, but they're usually only 20 or 30 minutes. Like if we're lucky and all things are going according to plan, I try to take her for a walk before work and then one after work, just so, she can have some time outside. But I can't imagine every day having the luxury, in addition to all the other things I do, like cooking and cleaning and just everything, having 4 hours a day to forest bathe. I mean, it would be wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, I would love it. I hope if I ever get to retire, that mm-hmm. that's something I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that forest bathing wasn't something that the author said you have to do every day or whatever, mm-hmm. but even so,
yeah,
it's just something to consider that not everyone has that kind of time. And something else that was kind of funny about this book is that it's very much written, like it's obviously written by a Japanese person for American consumption, but it is so glaringly obvious in the way that the author is speaking to us. There are a lot of sections that kind of open with, how much time have you spent looking at your phone today and your television? And then at one point, the book even tries to make some kind of comparison so that we understand a concept better. And it says something about like, dust and pollutants settle on the leaves of a tree, just like dust settles on your television set. And I'm like, okay, sir.
Thank you.
That's kind of a lot, but thanks.
Yeah, groundbreaking.
First of all, I have a thin TV. This isn't the 1990s anymore, so there's less surface area for the dust to settle on.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, and it's also like, because we live in the society we live in, we're tired. We don't have the brain capacity to do things. So stop judging, man. We're doing the best we can, okay?
Yeah, plus if my TV's always on, how am I supposed to know there's dust on it?
Right.
It kind of reminded me if the author would have like made some kind of comparison to like, you know, how you Americans can always try to see how many cheeseburgers you can fit in your mouth. It was just very American, the most American thing that he could think
well,
of.
Well, wait, we like, do that.
Yeah.
Do we not? Is that, is it just well, me?
Oh, all the time. I mean, it's a stereotype for a reason, clearly.
Yeah. Right.
But overall, it was a really nice book. I just, I feel like because it was so long and repeated so many ideas, there was almost, the reader is almost forced to spend too much time with the concept, and it almost, you know, gets a little grating. Mm-hmm. So by the end of the book, I was very ready to be done. But in the beginning, I was loving it, about the first half or so. And then the second half, I was thinking, like, this book could have been 30 pages. Mm-hmm. And it's 300. So, like, let's keep it moving. So it kind of left me more time to start thinking about, you know, oh, I don't love the way you said that. And, oh, that study doesn't seem very well backed. And there's also a section at the end where he talks about bringing the forest to you, which is a great mm-hmm. idea. But when it talks about essential oils, there's absolutely no kind of warning or discrepancy given about how dangerous essential oils can be. Mm-hmm. So if you are thinking about using them, just please do a quick Google before you do so, because diffusing mm-hmm. certain oils can be toxic to your pets, and it can be mm-hmm. toxic to ingest. And some essential oils can even burn through plastic. Like, they're nothing mm-hmm. to mess around with. So just make sure that you look up the oil that you want to use and make sure that you don't have an allergy to it. And if you are pregnant, there are some oils that might be really harmful to you. So just be aware, because none of that is mentioned in this book. It just says go to town, which is mm-hmm. a little bit alarming.
It was disconcerting. The one where he's talking about like for congestion, and he's like, just boil some water, throw a couple drops in, and inhale it right into your lungs. And I was like, I don't know about that, man.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, especially depending on the oil and what kind of allergy situation you might have. And it just, I think that doing that is okay. Don't mm-hmm. quote me on that. I'm not a doctor. But it would be really nice if the author gave a very specific recipe, because it doesn't. It just says, like, get a bucket of water. Well, how big is my bucket of water? Because mm-hmm. if my bucket of water is just a tiny little saucepan, then if I add a few drops of oil, that's going to be really concentrated and intense. But if I use a big soup pot, that's going to be a lot more diluted and mm-hmm. probably a lot safer. So things like that, you should really specify and give some good recipes so that people aren't just messing around with yeah. something that they might not understand. Just because yeah. it's usually fine, but sometimes mm-hmm. oils can be a little risky. So just be careful with them.
Yeah.
There was a part where he was talking about one of the oils. He's like, you know, this can be as effective as medication for depression. And I was like, please, God, no.
Yeah, that was one of the parts where I was like,
if you have a little case of the sads and you're not clinically depressed, sure, maybe smelling mm-hmm. the lemon citrus oil would make you happier, give you a mood boost. But if you are clinically depressed, please see a mental health professional and get actual help. That aren't
absolutely being, if you have a chronic health condition, please talk to your doctor, because a lot of doctors, honestly, like, they'll give you vitamin supplements too, but it's like a combination of the things.
Addition to actual medicine.
Please take your medication. It is very important to take your doctor prescribed medication. That part just made me cringe as well. And particularly as a chronically ill person, because it also just kind of gave the, you can fix yourself with essential oil vibes and not that big pharma nonsense. And it's like, no.
Yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow goopy kind of vibes in a couple spots.
Yeah. And that's not to say I don't use like tea tree oil sometimes, you know, like for certain issues. Lavender, definitely. Like, if I spray some on my pillow, it helps me sleep. Just be mindful about what you're doing. And if you have any questions, definitely talk to a doctor if it's the right choice for you. Like, if you are curious about an essential oil, mm-hmm. Just talk to them about it and they'll be happy to answer your questions, because for real, most doctors, they like doing like vitamins too, like in addition. So
Yeah, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with Eastern medicine. This isn't like an Eastern versus Western medicine thing. Mm-hmm. It just the way that the book conveys the message. I think if I were the editor, I would have, you know, I would have wanted to definitely change the tone, I guess, and change the way that it comes across, because the way that it comes across is that certain traditional remedies are the one cure-all for everything, and that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. Which is what you both have just said. So, like, it's not a bad thing to bring up the power of essential oils and like the benefits they may provide, but to convey it as like a guarantee is obviously not the way you want to go. Mm-hmm. So again, it's like a really nice book, but you've just got to go into it level-headed, I guess, and mm-hmm. just think critically about what's being said. It's not, I don't know. There were some parts of it that did seem a little far out. I'm not entirely mm-hmm. sure that they were scientifically backed, because I didn't see any reference points. Throughout the book, especially the first half, you see a lot of reference points, and they all seemed pretty much okay to me. But the farther you get into the book, some of them get a little... Eric, do you want to talk about the grounding section?
Yeah.
We had an impassioned conversation about the section on grounding.
Yeah, there was a part where he talks about taking your shoes off and how you're basically forming a circuit with the earth, the electrons from the ground flowing through your body. Mm-hmm. And it just came across as really new agey and probably not scientifically accurate to me to form circuits with the earth. I think one of the sentences was, he says, some people have called shoes the most dangerous invention in mankind, or something like totally hyperbolic like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think wearing leather or shoes made of wood is any healthier than a rubber-soled shoe. And I would argue in a lot of cases, like, probably not great for your arch or your foot structure. But that was an interesting little chapter to me, the negative ions or electrons or whatever from the soil penetrating your body and forming a circuit with the earth. I'm like, I don't know.
I totally forgot about the shoe thing until you just mentioned it. And I thought that was so weird. I just like the way the grass feels on my feet, but it's not like, it makes me personally feel more grounded. But I totally forgot about like the ion circuit electrical charge thing and his, that shoes were basic. I think that is pretty much what he said. Like, shoes were like the worst invention.
And so again, here's another example of where I'm not going to demonize what he's saying, because I haven't done the research outside of this book. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that, it could be totally a thing. It could be a thing in science that I'm just not aware of,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that there were very many, if any at all, references made at that part. Mm-hmm. And it very much assumed that you know exactly what he's talking about and that you are along for the ride, because he just chugs right along. And so that's a part where, even though this book is way too long, it needs way more information right there, because it just skims right across and doesn't explain why. Mm-hmm. And so we don't know what's going on there. It just kind of plows through and says, like, you should go barefoot. Also, you should make a circuit with the earth. Also, and then it just keeps going. And that's where the book comes across as really unbelievable, because you need to get your sources in there and explain it without drawing conclusions. Just show us the science.
Mm-hmm. I feel like when we were talking before recording, like, I think this book needed to pick a lane, whether it wanted to be like nice and light and breezy, like it kind of was in the beginning, or like heavy science based, because that's the part that suffers, is when he makes those claims and just like kind of tries to breeze along. And you're like, but wait a minute, some of that doesn't sound right. Please explain that to me, what you're talking about. Like, what is your cite your sources or whatever, which in fairness could be, there could be a study linked in the back here that we could look at and totally reinforces that claim.
Yeah, but if like, so, it's not very obviously put in front of us, you know?
Right. Yeah, and I mean, we'd also have to like look into like the funding of the study that, you know, like made the claim, like we'd have to do quite a deep dive. And like you said, I feel like a lot of citations were missing. Like, it's great that there was a bibliography in the back, but being able to like extrapolate on those a little bit more would have benefited greatly, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it just needed to pick a lane, and it kind of tries to straddle being this light, breezy, easy, gentle read about walking around the forest, but also dips its other foot into the science kind of arena and doesn't really do that successfully. Mm-hmm. And kind of like pings my radar in a couple just statements here and there of like, I don't know if that's true or why I should trust it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, that was a very perfect way to put my struggles finishing this book. Mm-hmm. So that kind of brings me to, I want to ask you both, it's a good book with some flaws. Would you recommend it?
You know, if people, okay. So like, if you are a critical reader that isn't like easily swayed, and you can identify like persuasive writing, and you can kind of like extrapolate things like basically like our discussion, yeah, I think you should, because for me this just served as a reminder that being outside, particularly in forest, makes me and my body feel really, really good, and I need to fit that into my schedule a little bit more. If you're a person that just kind of believes everything you read because it aligns with your viewpoint.
Careful.
Yeah. I mean, you do you.
I think that's a really good way to say it. I know we just kind of spent the last however long kind of bashing the book in a way, but I'm fully on board with the concept of kind of unplugging, going out into nature, or doing any other leisurely activity. So yeah, I would recommend this book. I enjoyed a lot of it, especially like the beginning part with some of the Japanese myths, and you know, just expounding on the benefits of disconnecting and taking time for yourself to be mindful in nature. I think it's very valuable and everyone can benefit from that, but also take a lot of the hypotheses presented with massive grains of salt, and maybe don't neglect other areas of self-care, whether that's going to doctors and things like that. Don't just rely solely on the information in this book for your health and well-being, I guess, is the caveat I would put to, yes, read this book, go hang out with trees, make a friend in the forest and pick your favorite tree and hang out with it every day if you can.
You can even put your arms around it, as the author said.
hug those trees, baby. But like, yeah, don't maybe just take everything at face value in the book as being 100% true. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to read something maybe more rigorously researched, read Stolen Focus by Johann Hari, because it's a very similar kind of concept, and he actually does do loads of research and present his research very well. So
yeah, that book sounds awesome. Yeah. I also have a book to recommend. It's not about forest bathing. It's more about I lost my book. I have to find it again. It's more about a not beginner level, but easy to approach kind of dive into basic forest and tree ecology all around the globe. And I always forget what it's called, but it's a really pretty book. It's from National Geographic. And what I think is really similar between this book and forest bathing is, if you read it in the morning, it gets you really amped up and just happy and at peace and appreciative for nature, because it's got beautiful photography. And then similar to this book, it's got like some pretty easy to approach text with some really gorgeous pictures on the sides, and you'll get through it pretty quickly. It's a heftier and a bigger book than forest bathing, but every couple of pages is just a different topic about tree ecology and about how trees have been used throughout history. And then it even highlights some specific trees, like some ancient trees around the world. It's a really cool book. So that book is called Into the Forest, The Secret Language of Trees. It's from 2022 and it's by Susan Tyler Hitchcock. But again, it's from National Geographic. So it's kind of like watching a documentary about trees first thing in the morning. It's the best. It was a really cool book.
That's so cool. That was on our potential title list for Nonfiction Book Club and did not get voted in.
Ooh, if ever it comes back around, it's a really fun one. Especially because there's something in there for everybody, because it's not like forest bathing where it's basically focused on one thing. Into the Forest kind of dives into a ton of different topics from all different places. So it's, if you're not interested in these couple of pages, just keep going, because there's a whole nother section with really interesting stuff. So it's a good one.
I'm adding both of those to my list. I just made little notes in my notebook. Do you guys have like any final thoughts? I feel like we've done a pretty good job.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, awesome. So we really encourage you to get outside and enjoy nature. It's a beautiful day today. On the day we're recording, it looks like it's 78 degrees, which is wild, you know, coming down from our like heinous winter. So yeah, get outside and enjoy some trees.
Drink a glass of water, get some fresh air, feel the bark with your hands. You can even put your arms around the tree.
Give the tree a hug today.
Yeah, you gotta. You gotta hug the trees. Happy Earth Day. Plant a tree. Love a tree.
Thank them for their service.
Mm-hmm. Yes, all the time.
Trees.
Trees.
Yeah. All right. So this wraps up this month's discussion. We'll see you next month. Bye.